Good morning.
Good morning.
This day is All Saints Day, and we are thankful for all those who have gone before us. In the at the beginning of the prayers of the day, there will be the opening part. It's not actually in your prayers for the church, but it will be right before all the other prayers, and that will be a remembrance of those loved ones and friends. And I invite you at that point, and I'll let you know, because I'm going to say a couple names of people that are on my mind, and you are welcome to do also all those who have preceded you as well into the heavenly kingdom. Well, we're all in the heavenly kingdom, but the church triumphant. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive His body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. For you are my rock and my fortress. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Glory be to the Father and to the Son
and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation.
They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God on high be glory. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant us to follow your blessed saints in all virtuous and godly living, that together with them we may come to the unspeakable joys you have prepared for those who love you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the Sunday of All Saints' Day, is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. The epistle reading for this morning is taken from the letter of John, 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us join in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, all things were made. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, there it is. The readings. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And in 1 John, John writes, "And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure." Well, the lights have been turned down.
They are every week.
No. Trust me. Either that or my eyes are going. Someone get me a seeing eye dog. We understand about purity. In some things, purity is very important in life. I mean, would you like pure gold or gold that has some other metals mixed in it? Well, you want the pure gold, don't you? Yeah. But pure gold is soft also. That's why in all those old westerns you see the guy biting down on the gold coin. Make sure it has some flexibility in it. It's not hard. Purity is important in other things as well. If you were a chemist, you'd want your chemicals to be pure and not adulterated. Otherwise, whatever you're making or whatever you're testing may not come out right. It may be, you know, a faulty product or something like that. Purity. It's the same when we hear about God in ourselves, too. When God made everything in the beginning, everything was good, or we might say pure. There was nothing wrong in God's creation, not one single thing. Till sin. Then impurity came into the pure creation. And we understand what that has caused. It has caused all kinds of struggle in life. It has caused all kinds of other sorts of hardships, famines, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes. See, we kind of take it for granted. That's just the way the world is, but it's not the way God created the world to be. He created a place that was good and pure and had everything that His creatures could possibly need. And He created Adam and Eve to be His children who would work with Him in this wonderful creation, to be partners in a sense. We weren't like the other creatures. We were created in the image of God and we were pure. Now, St. John in his letter kind of reminds us about that too. What kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God, and so we are. Because God has made it so. Because God has created that out of nothing. That is, we were at one time impure, but now we have been purified in the blood of Christ. I know it may not seem like we're very pure. We are sometimes even embarrassed by some of the things that come out of our mouths in words and in violence, cries of violence. Yet God says, I have made you pure. I kind of, I guess, laugh at some things people say. Not into their face or anything, but, you know, it's just kind of, if you think about it, it's just not very good teaching in the Word of God. And that's the impression that sometimes people have that, well, you know, we go through life and God's working on me, making me a better person. Yes. Or the phrase, I'm not perfect yet, but I'm working on it. Or you know, God's not done with me yet. Well, good news is God's never done with you. or a work in progress. That's another one. A work in progress for what? Are you graduating to heaven? Do you have to go through a certain number of things in life before you can enter heaven? You know, when you think about that sort of thing, it goes against what we understand about salvation. And we are saved through faith by grace. We are saved all from the work of God. And we have been made pure by His blood. We have been washed in that blood. Our robes have been made white. Yes, we don't wear robes, except me. You do. You do. You just can't see them, but God sees them. God sees a pure son and daughter sitting in these pews today. God sees your purity because He sees Christ in you, His pure Son, who was the pure Lamb who gave His life for the world. And God has called you His child, and the first time that happened was when you believed. But He sealed that in His covenant through baptism. There, all the sacrifice that Christ made for you and I was poured upon you. And you were cleansed with this water and word that God spoke over you, in which He said, you are my son, or you are my daughter. That all took place there. You were sealed in the book of life. Your name is there in that book that we hear of in Revelation. Your name is in there. Your name is in there. Because you are one of God's children. And that comes through faith. What a wonderful gift that God has given us that we should be called His children. John goes on to write, too, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him, that is, the Lord. It did not know Christ. It did not know God, when He was present in their midst, when He came. As the Son incarnate. They didn't believe, some of them, at least the world, that this could possibly be true. How could this be possibly true? But we believe it. Our hope is in Him because God has made this so. God had planned it out at the beginning of creation, before creation even happened, before God spoke those first words. He planned out our salvation. He planned it out. Not for Himself. Of course not. He needed no salvation, but He wanted to redeem His children that He created, Adam and Eve and His descendants. We were all to be pure. We were to all have eternal life with Him. Think about that. That was the way the world was supposed to be. But we know a different world, don't we? We don't know the garden that Adam and Eve knew. We don't know the pure world. We just look around us and we find ourselves at times becoming very tired of the struggle. The struggle between doing right and wrong. The world calls us in one direction and the Spirit calls us into a different way. And we so want to follow the Spirit. But when we find ourselves at times following the world, we get exasperated. We become tired. How long will this continue? We join the saints in that cry, actually, those who are under the altar of God, singing, "How long, O Lord, how long?" We too long for the day when our Heavenly Father sends His Son back. Not that He's really gone, but He will return fully in His man-God persona? I mean, He's with us now. We have Him now. But we look for that return that Jesus spoke to them, to the disciples, as they watched Him ascend into heaven. And the angel said, "What are y'all looking at? He's going to come back just as you have seen Him leave." And we long for that day. We cry day and night, "O Lord, come, come quickly." We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. We pray, "Lord, come and end this struggle, end this sin forever, and bring about Your pure work that we all long for." The completion when Jesus returns and makes all things new, where there is no suffering, where the sun does not beat down upon us and cause us to become dehydrated and thirsty or sunburned or baked or whatever you want to say, because sometimes we know from the summer how bad that heat is. If it weren't for air conditioning, thank you, Lord, for creating air conditioning. Yeah. And heating. We are thankful. We enjoy some of the fruits of God's good creative work in us. For He gives us the knowledge and the ability and the things that we need to make all the things that we have made down through the ages that have made our lives a little less hard. But even then, we still look at ourselves and we say, "But Lord, my condition is still the same. I'm making everything around me a little more comfortable. But look, Lord, I still have my sin. I still struggle. I still do the things I don't want to do. And I don't do those things I know I want to do. I should be doing for Your glory." That's the struggle of all the saints of God in this world. But one day, we will leave this world, whether Christ has returned or not, and what wonderful good news that is, because we will see our Lord face to face. And what a wonderful day that will be. And we'll see all those who have gone before us, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, who we probably never met. Nowadays, you can't necessarily say that. We are living longer now. But to what end? It is that we may proclaim the goodness of our Lord. It is that we may show forth His praise and honor and testify to others, family, friends, of God's salvation and of His return. That we have a better answer It is better than anyone could possibly hope for or dream of because God has made it so. Science can't do it. Our muscles can't do it. Our powerful machinery can't do it. Our computers cannot do it. They can only make this world a little more tolerable physically. But the spiritual person that God has created us to be as His children longs for something still better, longs for the day in which Christ will return and we will be raised up, our bodies raised up physically, joined with our spirits. And we will see Jesus as He is. And St. John says we will be like Him. We don't know what that'll be like yet, but we know we will be like Him. And you know what? That's good enough. It's interesting sometimes the conversations that I've had as a pastor with sometimes it's usually more with somebody maybe shut in, someone thinking more in terms of heaven and longing for that day. I had one woman who was a shut-in ask me, and I never had been asked this before, and it kind of took me back, but she said, "How will we know one another in heaven?" Yeah, that's actually kind of a good question, isn't it? I mean, will we look like we look right now in heaven? Well, we're not going to be physical in heaven until Christ returns and raises our physical bodies. And even then, those will be changed. Or will we have the image of that person that we will be when Christ returns? It's a good question. How will we know one another? And I had to think about that not very long. And I said, well, you remember the Mount of Transfiguration and those two individuals standing with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. How do you suppose the disciples knew who they were? They never saw Moses and Elijah. There were no photographs. There were no statues. There were no images. Well, they knew because God made them know it. They knew. There was a moment of purity on that mountain in which Christ was transfigured. A moment of purity when Moses and Elijah are standing there with Him in a glorified state. They knew. They didn't have to ask. God just opened their eyes to that reality. And it will be the same for us because we will no longer be finite beings in this world. We will be like Him. And we will see Him as He is. And we will be children of His in a way we could never imagine. Pure. It's hard to think about purity. But it doesn't come about by our strength or our doing. It comes through faith by grace. It comes about because of God's will and His command, really. His command is that you are His children. That is His word. That is His promise. You are His children. Jesus says it in a number of ways throughout His ministry before ascending into heaven. We are God's and we belong to Him. And no one can take us out of His hands. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God, St. Paul says. Nothing. No, any kind of hardship, tribulation, whatever. Not even death. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So we look forward to that day. We look ahead with hope and anticipation. That is the mark of a child of God. The world cannot see it, but we can. We see it in one another because we know one another. We share in the same struggles. We share in that as Christians. We recognize that in some parts of the world that struggle is much harder than what we go through, but we still share with them in that struggle. And we all long for our Lord's return. And what a glorious day that will be when heaven and earth are joined together in purity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise for the prayers of the church. In joyful expectation of the resurrection to life eternal, we remember before the Lord our departed family and friends who have gone before us in faith and all those who are in our hearts and minds this day. I lift up to you, O Lord, Linda Hoopert, James and Marie Hoopert. You may speak any names you wish of those who have, you know, that may be on your hearts this day. Mighty and eternal God, we remember before you the saints and martyrs of every generation who trusted in you in the face of terror and threat. Grant that when facing persecution and trial in our own day, we may be steadfast in faith. Deliver those whom you have washed in baptism, granting the new life that death cannot overcome. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, you established the church and have granted her your aid and protection through these many years. Continue to pour out upon us your spirit and grace that we may accomplish your bidding and proclaim your saving name to every corner of the earth. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Mighty and eternal God, we give thanks for the faithful pastors who have spoken to us your word and the church workers who have served us in your name. Grant that we may continue to receive their ministry of word and sacrament with willing ears and open hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Mighty and eternal God, we beg your grace that our lives may be ordered by your commands, and we ask you to bless those who govern us in your name. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, the legislators and all local officials, that pursuing the path of justice, they may act with humility and honor for the good of all people. Give wisdom to all who vote this week and bless its results, that our nation may elect our leaders peacefully and orderly. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, we rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death and raised us in Christ to dwell with him in everlasting life. Give to those who grieve the comfort of the promise of the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. And bestow your peace upon the dying, that they may fall asleep here and awaken in your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, you have made us your children, and you continue to guard us as your own possession. According to your will, give healing to the sick, calm to the troubled in mind, and patience to those facing sorrow and struggle. Give health and peace to our nation. Hear us especially on behalf of Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, and Wilfred Defoe. Lord, in your mercy, mighty and eternal God, show forth your kindness to the poor and your compassion to those who suffer injustice. Deliver us from the scourge of racism and prejudice, and help us to acknowledge our common life from your creative power and our common redemption in Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, we are unworthy of all your blessings and do not deserve the mercies new every morning of our earthly lives. Give us the will and desire to care responsibly for all that you have entrusted to us and to be generous with those in need and for the support of your church and the work of the kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, your Son has set his table among us in the presence of our enemies, giving us a foretaste of the eternal feast to come. Prepare us in heart and mind to come to this sacrament and receive the blessing of his body and blood for our benefit. Deliver us from divisions that prevent our communion together, and bring us soon to the day when we will be fully united in doctrine and life to the glory of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty and eternal God, bring us to that day when every tear shall be wiped from our eyes and we shall hunger and thirst no more. Knowing you now by faith, we yearn for the day when we shall know you face to face. Until the dawn of that eternal day, keep us in your faith and fear through our good shepherd and Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right, good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name. Sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. The name of the Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. By faith, the saints of old held fast to your promise of things hoped for, though not yet seen, leaving an example and encouragement for us who walk now by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink this holy supper of your Son's body and blood, and in the union of his mystical body, the Church, be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, the holy martyrs, and all the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
To life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, Lord.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. And before the announcements, I keep meaning to say this, and I keep forgetting. But when we have communion, and you are receiving the little cups, as you know, sometimes it gets stuck. There's actually quite an easy solution to it. If you feel resistance, release, and then pick it up. It'll come out. It's like that old Chinese handcuff thing, or finger cuffs, you know. You just remember, if it gets stuck, rather than fighting that resistance, just let it go, and it'll come right out. Yeah, it's true. Sorry I haven't told you in how many months?
Can't wait.
Now you're in church.
Yeah.
Don't be saying falsehood. No, it will be exciting.
Can't miss.
We want to wish a happy birthday to Carolyn on November 1st.
Woohoo! Happy birthday!
And to Nathan Christ on November the 3rd, and to Peggy on November the 4th.
Got two woohoos!
And Ashley Jurek on November the 5th. There were no anniversaries this week. Were there any other announcements from the congregation?
I'll give an announcement. Peggy and I have been working on getting everything boxed up. In fact, she did a great job boxing the personal care kits this week, and they're all labeled and ready to go. I'm going to go Saturday morning to Epiphany on West Road, and we're going to take 26 personal care kits and 37 school kits. Because we couldn't take them in April because of the pandemic going on. But they're accepting them, and they've given us special direction. So they will be out of the church and on to Lutheran Rural Relief Saturday. So, woohoo!